Welcome back. Scale back on spending or risk overheating the economy. That's the message from the Economic and Social Research Institute to government this morning. It comes as government plans a 9.4 billion spending increase in the budget, and it follows a warning from the central bank last week that the additional expenditure in the budget is too large. Well, Associate Research Professor with the ESRI, Dr. Conor O'Toole, is on the line. Dr. O'Toole, why are you worried about spending?
I guess the advice around spending comes from a number of different contexts. First, if you look at the domestic economy in Ireland, it's growing relatively robustly. You know, we've strong consumption growth, we've a well-performing labour market, and you know, with that labour market performance comes a very low unemployment rate and an economy at capacity. So if your economy is at capacity, doesn't have any spare labour resources in particular, then additional expenditure risks overheating that economy and not achieving the objectives that you wish to achieve with that spending.
Well, you're concerned about the long-term impact and the National Development Plan.
Yeah, I guess in terms of infrastructure and expenditure on the construction sector, it's a couple of points there to make. You know, the construction sector, like the broader economy, is really operating at capacity at present. You know, there are little to no spare resources there. And, you know, we're asking a lot of that sector. You know, we're asking to produce more houses, we're asking it to renovate and retrofit and to do infrastructure all at the same time. And, you know, really that is not very achievable when you only have 190,000 employees in the sector and very little slack.
And wage increases as well in that sector, that's a concern.
Well, yes, and in a sense, that's the consequence of trying to do too much with very little spare capacity in the sector. Obviously, if you had more labour, if there was additional, you know, slack labour in the sector, you could increase output without that increase in wage prices. But really, when we're asking the sector to do so much to achieve all of these objectives at capacity, the risk there is this overheating channel where prices and wages go up.
On homes and houses, you say 35,000 homes will be built in 2025. It's above your prediction of 33,000 in your last quarterly report in July. Why has that changed?
Yes, yeah, so we've upped our forecast for this particular year because we see the run rate as being faster than we previously had anticipated. The forecasting is always a difficult exercise, but it's particularly challenging at the moment because last year we had a big increase in housing starts because of some policy initiatives that were brought in. And really, 70,000 housing starts last year, we were just trying to profile whether that will come through this year or next year. And our anticipation is that it's going to come through faster this year than previous. So this year's a little bit up, next year's a little bit down. Outlook past that horizon, really there are a lot of challenges and weaknesses there.
Reports this morning that government is looking at tax breaks for developers. What were you looking at those?
Well, in a sense, when we think about the construction sector, really the challenges in terms of increasing housing production are structural in nature. You know, they're not necessarily related to fiscal instruments. They are, for example, bottlenecks in planning, bottlenecks in infrastructure around water and wastewater, really trying to get that infrastructure to connect that housing and thinking about what are we asking the sector to do? You know, the constraint be really on the labour side. So in a sense, dealing with those structural challenges, those kind of planning inefficiencies and those infrastructure challenges, to me, are the kind of key priorities in the sector.
Well, going back to spending, what would you prefer, scaling back of expenditure or the raising of taxes?
Really, the particular adjustment is really at the behest of the government to make it in terms of what those choices would be. They would have freedom themselves to make the adjustment on the tax side or the spending side. You know, what we're trying to look at in the round is the net impact, so that net increase in spending. What's its impact on an economy at full capacity? And really, we feel that net increase should be pulled back, particularly to try and eliminate the deficit that could be there if you took away some of these windfall taxes from the corporation, the multinational corporations. So government has choices around how to make that adjustment. Really, the net figures is what we're concerned about.
And multinationals, you're urging the coalition not to rely on those taxes paid by multinationals.
Yeah, so look, there's an element of the tax paid by the multinationals that's referred to, you know, by bodies like ourselves and others as windfall. So this really is the component of the corporation tax that's increased very rapidly recently, but it's unexplained by the kind of fundamentals of those organizations and can, you know, is really what we would call at risk of falling or changing quite rapidly. So this is the element that we're concerned about, and this is the element that we would hope the government will either save or invest for some longer term challenges to use that capital to deal with those long term challenges.
Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue told the News at One last week that the budget would still contain spending at or inside 9.4 billion, despite the warning from the central bank last week. That concerns you, does it?
Yeah, look, I think as we've reiterated in the commentary, this commentary and the last commentary, you know, we are concerned by the rate of growth of government spending. You know, that concern is twofold. One, we know the economy is operating at capacity, so additional expenditure in that context is likely to lead to overheating and inflationary pressures. And second of all, we are concerned about the stability of this component of the tax base from these windfall taxes. So that those dual concerns really are why we feel the government should be as prudent as possible and pull back spending.
And just going back again to the tax breaks for developers, are they favourable in your view? Are they needed if we need to give housing a jolt in terms of figures?
Look, as I mentioned before, I really think that if we need to start thinking about housing in a much more longer term context than in the short term. And, you know, when we're looking at what the major challenges are in the longer term, it's trying to make sure we have those structural reforms around the planning side, around consistent investment in social housing and in affordable housing, and also have that production of infrastructure, which helps unlock housing through water, wastewater and the transport infrastructure, the electricity grid. All of these are kind of the structural unlockers of housing. And to me, making a dent into really dealing with those issues is where we will get the best bang for our buck in terms of the long-term housing output.
Dr. Conor O'Toole from the ESRI, thanks for joining us this morning. It's now 20 past 8.